Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
As we transition to worship this morning, or to the Word, what's exciting is that we are excited about having a special guest speaker. And a few weeks ago, actually probably more like 6 weeks ago, we knew that this week and the previous week was supposed to be youth camps here in Virginia. And when we realized that they were canceled, we normally have a week of junior camp and then a week of senior camp. And normally I always have a guest preacher, and I would usually be exhausted right now saying, oh, camp was so tiring. Can't say that this year. And then say, pray for me, saints. I've got one more week. Amen. But not this year. But when we realized that, I did want to give time to have our youth team and our youth pastor speak. And last week, Brother Tim did a phenomenal job, and I'm very thankful for the word of God that he delivered unto you. And you can give him a golf clap or give him an applause in the chat. And I want to say how thankful I am as pastor for our youth pastors. And we have a tremendous youth pastor team. Sister Danielle, who is kind of the admin backbone, makes it happen behind the scenes. And if she would preach, I would have her preach as well, but she won't preach. I've tried. But I am thankful for her as well. And she does a tremendous job. And then last week, Brother Tim as well has done a tremendous job. And today we're having just a tremendous lady of God in Sister Jamie. And she has a passion for ministry. And I am so proud of our youth pastoral team. They work together phenomenal. And do you know that the average tenure of a youth pastor is like 18 months to 2 years? And all of these gluttons for punishment, they have been doing it many, many years. And they have far outlasted the average tenure of a youth pastor. And I'm thankful for their passion and their walk with God and helping to lead our young people. And today we are blessed as Sister Jamie is not only tremendously used by God, but she is one of the most studied people I've ever seen. And she is very, very anointed, and I am excited to have her come preach the word of God this morning. And so I am excited. Would you welcome Sister Jamie as she comes and preaches the word of God to us today?
Thank you, Pastor. It is definitely an honor to be sharing what God has laid on my heart. Give honor to Pastor Travis, to Sister Amber, and to each of you at Nova Church. It is a high honor to serve you. It truly, truly is. And we're just going to dive straight into the Word of God. And so, if you're home, please stand up. Stand for the reading of the Word. This gives honor to God. It is something they did throughout the entire Old Testament. It is something that we would do if we were meeting in person. If you're driving, please don't stand. Personal preference choice there. But we're going to turn to the Word of God. So if you can turn to Genesis 35, 19 through 21. Genesis 35, 19 through 21. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder. I would like everyone to repeat after me, and you can even drop it in the comments. Jacob buried Rachel, and Israel moved on. Jacob buried Israel, and Jacob buried Rachel, and Israel moved on. Today, the message that God is sharing with us today is simply entitled, Burying Rachel. And before we go any further, we're going to do another prayer, because if you know me, can't pray too much. Lord Jesus, we pray right now, God, that you have your way in today's service. Lord, I pray right now that every living room and every room who is listening to this, Lord, becomes an altar, God. We may not have an altar like we would have in a typical service, God, but where you are, there can be an altar built. And right now, God, we pray right now that where your children are, there is an altar. Lord, we pray right now that your presence is felt so strongly, God, they cannot run from it. Lord, we pray today. Give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, and a desire, Lord, for this to be a changing day. Lord, we pray today, and we believe and declare this is going to be a new day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the story of Jacob and Esau is a story that is pretty commonplace in Sunday school curriculums, in youth ministry. It is something that you've probably heard preached multiple times. We know that their mother, Rebecca, struggled for 20 years trying to have children, and finally God blessed her with twin boys and even gave her a prophecy that, frankly, violated the social norms of the time and for most of history. And this prophecy was that the oldest would serve the youngest. Now, the twin boys were competitive, even in her womb. And when she gave birth, Esau was the firstborn, but the second son had a hold of his heel and was determined to be the first. Because of this, the secondborn son was given the name of Jacob, which means one who grabs the heel, supplanter, overthrower, deceiver. Now, the two men were as opposite as night and day. Esau was a hunter, outdoorsman, and his father's favorite, whereas Jacob was the one who lived near the tents, wholesome, and his mother's favorite. Now, the Bible doesn't really tell us why. Maybe it was just Jacob's way of making God's prophecy come true. Maybe he was just jealous or envious of his brother's position as the firstborn son. But one day, Esau was out in the field, and he came back hungry and exhausted. And there was Jacob, making some lentil stew. Seeing, and probably smelling, that delicious stew, Esau told Jacob, "Give me some of that stew." Well, seeing an opportunity, Jacob decided to say, "Sell me your birthright, now." Esau, being dramatic, said, "I am about to die. What is a birthright to me?" Well, considering it takes 1 to 2 months of no food to starve, I'm pretty sure Esau was okay. But this really does show us two things. One, Esau didn't value the birthright, the plan that God had for his life. And two, Esau was controlled by the desires of his flesh. So Esau sold the plans of God for his life for a piece of bread and lentil stew. And the sad part is, there were no repercussions. Esau never got mad at Jacob after that. There is no indication that Esau felt tricked. That is how little he thought of what God had planned for him. That is how little he thought of God's will for his life. Fast forward a few decades, and we see that the tension between the brothers had only escalated. As their father grew older, he came to a point where he thought he was going to die. One day, Isaac called to Esau and gave him a series of instructions to prepare a feast for the blessing ceremony. This was actually common in pastoral nomadic cultures. You didn't have to wait until your father died to inherit. So Esau left to do what his father told him to do, and well, Rebecca and Jacob saw an opening, a way to make God's prophecy come true. And they deceived Isaac into giving Jacob the blessing, even though he wasn't the one who was supposed to have it. And you see, it was the blessing that empowers or activates the birthright. And the blessing could not be reversed, because it wasn't just the blessing from God, or from the father, but it was also the blessing from God. That's right. When Esau came back, he was crushed. In this heartbreaking moment, he realized that the weight of what he had discarded for so long, he realized that he had lived in a way that just assumed that his birthright and God's will would just be there when he had time. It would just be there after he did everything he wanted to do, and he could just come back to it. Side note, a lot of us live that way. But we can lose it if we don't value it. Instead of realizing that the events were in part his responsibility, because he did not value the gift of God. Esau became enraged at his brother and threatened to kill Jacob. Their mother was so worried about Jacob's safety that she wanted to protect Jacob. So she convinced Isaac to allow Jacob to go to her family for just a few days. Just a few days. Under the guise of finding a wife. So Jacob fled, and one night he found himself in a special place. And there he had a vision of a staircase to heaven, which angels were coming down and going up to God. And it was in this place that God became real to Jacob for the first time. And God gave Jacob the same promise that he had given to his father Isaac and to his grandfather Abraham. And that is that you will have many descendants. The land that you're standing on will be yours, and I will go with you. I will be wherever you go, and I will protect you and keep you. Now, Jacob's response to God reveals something about Jacob. He said, if you go with me and keep me and take care of my physical needs so that I can come home to my father in peace, then you will be my God. And Jacob made an altar and named the place Bethel, meaning house of God. Jacob then continued his journey and found his way to his mother's home. And there he came to a well. And there he met Rachel. In the Hebrew version of the text, Rachel is described as beautiful in face and form. That's the ancient way of saying she was a 10. And when he found out that she was from his family, he played it cool and nonchalant, right? Not at all. He was so overwhelmed that he went up and kissed her and then started weeping uncontrollably. This is usually when people go, "Aw, how romantic." And instead of staying a few days, like was the plan, Jacob stayed a month. After a month of apparently helping the family, Laban, Rachel's father, asked Jacob, "What should your wages be?" Jacob asked for Rachel's hand in marriage, and then out of love declared that he would serve Laban for 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. Aww, romantic. But actually, this is very strange for the culture, especially for the patriarchs. Jacob was now the patriarch of his family. He had the birthright and the blessing. That meant that Jacob owned 2/3 of Isaac's wealth. Now, Jacob was the patriarch. All he had to do was send word back to his family, and his father would have sent a large bride price. All Jacob had to do was start living in his birthright and blessing. But you see, living in the birthright and the blessing was not Jacob's first instinct. Living in his responsibilities was not instinctual. His first instinct was to be ruled by his desires. What was supposed to be a few days became a month, which became 7 years of not living as the patriarch of his family, of not living in the birthright and the blessing that was his right and responsibility. And Jacob now spent 7 years abandoning his responsibilities. There was something about Rachel. After 7 years, which seemed like a few days because of his love for her, Jacob was ready to marry Rachel. But to his surprise and disappointment, the deceiver, usurper, and trickster was played. Laban was tricked Jacob into marrying Leah, the older, and apparently not a 10, sister. Jacob, desiring Rachel so much, pledged to work for Laban for another 7 years, just so he could have Rachel as his wife. Just a reminder, all Jacob had to do was send word back home, and he could have had a bride price for Rachel. A few days became a month, which became 7 years, and now it became 14 years of not living in the birthright and blessing, of neglecting his spiritual and earthly responsibilities that he had wanted so badly. There was something about Rachel. Now, a lot happened during those years, a lot of jealousy, contention, bitterness, and children. And finally, Jacob's time was up. But instead of going home to his family and to his birthright, to his blessing and responsibilities, he chose to stay another 6 years. That is now 20 years, in case you're not keeping track. Go ahead and drop 20 years down into the comment section. That is 20 years that Jacob has neglected his responsibilities, his birthright, and his blessing. But after 20 years, he decided it was time to go home. So he packed up his wives, their maidservants, their children, and all their wealth. Sheep, oxen, donkeys, you get it. And on his way home, we actually see Jacob becoming fearful of when he would see Esau again. And what's interesting here is this is actually the first time that we see Jacob pray since Bethel. He never prayed when deciding if Rachel was the one. He never prayed when he was deceived by Laban. And he never prayed when there were issues in his family. And there were a lot. There was two wives. No prayers. And he didn't build an altar since Bethel. I guess Jacob was pretty serious about not letting God be his God until he made it home safely. But fear drove Jacob to seek God. And that night, the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob through the night. The angel told Jacob, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." In other words, you will no longer be called deceiver or usurper. You have a name that fits the prophecy in your life. You have a name that fits the birthright that you have ignored but are returning to. You now have a name to mark who you are becoming, who you were always meant to be. But do you know what's very interesting? Even after this epic wrestling that I'm sure was more dramatic than a WWE match and this amazing name change, Jacob wasn't actually called Israel until later. There was something that was holding him back, something that was keeping him from living as Israel, living in his birthright, living in the blessing, living in the fullness of what God had for him. Let's return to our opening scripture today. It is the first time we see Jacob actually being called Israel. Genesis 35, 19 through 21. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder. Jacob buried Rachel, and Israel moved on. There was something about Rachel. There was something about Rachel that distracted Jacob from God's promise. There was something about her that held Jacob back from being all that God had called him to be. There was something about her and his desire for her that kept him as Jacob. And it wasn't until she died and was buried that he was actually able to become Israel for the first time. There was something about Rachel. Brothers and sisters, have you been feeling stuck spiritually? Have you been battling apathy? Have you felt like the passion you once had is less or maybe even gone? Maybe the power and the authority you once had feels gone. Have you become more distracted? Has prayer seemed like a difficulty? Does it seem like God is far away? Has ministry, sharing the gospel, making disciples not been a priority? Have you become content not going to church or just turning on church and listening to it while you're doing something else? Has God called you to do something, but all you've done is make excuses? Maybe you have felt stuck and even complacent. So inundated with excuses like, "I don't have a calling," or "I don't have to do the Great Commission," or "I'll do it when I have time," or "I'll lock in when we meet in person." And maybe, just maybe, you have convinced yourself that you can wait until later to live in your birthright and blessing. If so, I am here to declare to you that you have a Rachel problem. You have allowed a Rachel, a distraction, to enter into your life and keep you from living in your birthright and your blessing. And you are falling into the trap that Jacob was in for 20 years. Rachel represents any distraction that keeps you bound from moving forward in your relationship with God. She represents any distraction that keeps you from moving forward into your purpose, God's will for your life, and your ministry. And you do have a purpose. God does have a will for your life. Yes. You do have a ministry. There is a lie that is from the pit of hell that has convinced 137 people a day who commit suicide that their life has no purpose. There is a lie from the pit of hell that God does not care about what you do with your life. And there is a lie from the pit of hell that convinces people that they do not have a ministry because they're not a preacher or a teacher or a singer. Right. Lies, lies, yeah. Lies. Yes. You have a purpose. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Look at the great commissions, make disciples, baptizing, teaching, being witnesses, preaching, which means to proclaim. Any of us can proclaim God's goodness.
Yes.
And God has a will for you. The word says that his will is salvation. Yes. Come to the knowledge of truth. Yes. Praying at all times, giving thanks in all circumstances. Pursue purity. Submit all of your ways to God. Doing good and so much more.
Amen.
God has called you to minister. Minister is from the Greek diakonos, which means to serve. Each of us are called by God to serve.
Yes.
You cannot opt out of it. God saved us so that we can serve others. Now, how we serve may look different.
Right.
For some, it is singing. For some, it is cleaning. But it is service.
Right.
In all of ways that we can serve, we must serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, praying for them, encouraging them, edifying them,
yes.
checking on them,
yes.
seeing how they're doing, doing more than just texting, praying for you,
mm-hmm.
emoji. No, get on your knees and pray.
Right.
Pray for them over the phone. Pray. Lift them up. Encourage and be there and share your testimony.
Amen.
And we are called to serve those who are lost.
Right.
We must be out there teaching Bible studies. We must be out there sharing our testimonies. We must be out there loving people and caring for people.
Amen.
This is ministry.
That's right.
Anything or anyone that distracts you from God's purpose, God's will, and you ministering must be laid aside and buried. It is time, saints of God. It is time to stop playing patty cake with the plans of God for our lives.
Amen.
It is time to stop making excuses.
Yeah.
Real talk. At the white throne of judgment, do you really think that your excuses and you trying to explain your distractions is going to convince God that you deserve an eternity with him?
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, know that mine would never work. God has more for you.
Yes.
God has more for you.
Amen.
And it is time to stop living beneath your spiritual means. If you've repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus and have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you have an eternal birthright and the blessing of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And it is time that we start living like the church.
Amen.
I know the season has been hard. I know some of us are struggling with distractions, and some of the distractions entered our life before COVID.
That's right.
I know that Rachel's had ended up in our life long before this, and it seems like she brought friends. But today is the day that we can declare that I am done being Jacob.
Amen.
I am done being distracted. I am done doing what is right in my own eyes. I'm done living like I'm not saved. I'm done living like I'm not highly favored of God. I am done. I am done living like a Jacob. I want to become Israel. I want to begin becoming who God wants me to be. We're starting to come to a close. Today, it's time for each of us, myself included, to search our hearts, our minds, our lives, our priorities, our focus, our excuses, our calendar, and our computers, and to find what or who is keeping us bound to being Jacob. Galatians 5:7 poses a fitting question. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? It is time to bury Rachel and move on. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 tells us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders," which means easily ensnares, surrounds, and distracts. And the sin that so easily entangles, surrounds, distracts. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Notice, we often focus on sin in that scripture, but it says throw off everything.
That's right.
Everything. It may, that distraction may not be a sin now, but if you're not being Israel, it is a sin.
Yeah.
As Pastor mentioned earlier, a sin of not doing what you're supposed to do. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, not on Rachel, not on distractions, not on what looks good in our eyes. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Throw off those distractions. Fix your eyes on Jesus so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. A race has an end, and so does the race that we're running. We must be moving forward. And we can only do this if our eyes are fixed on Jesus and we desire him and pursue him more than anything else. We must get rid of every distraction. It is time to bury Rachel and move on. Do you know something that's really interesting about the story of Jacob and Rachel? Rachel was Jacob's favorite, but it wasn't Rachel Jacob was buried with. He could have had her body moved, but he didn't. Instead, Jacob was buried with Leah, the wife that was not his favorite, but the wife who was beside him when he lived as Israel. The wife he needed. There was something about Rachel. Rachel brought trouble and other things into Jacob's life that was incompatible with God's plan for Jacob. And for 20 years, Jacob lived having the birthright and blessing, but not living like he did. We don't have 20 years to waste pursuing distractions. We don't have 20 years to just do what looks right in our own eyes.
Right.
Look at the news. Look at the world around us. This world doesn't have 20 years for you to be following after Rachel.
Yes.
There isn't 20 years. And frankly, this world doesn't have 1 year for you to be out there pursuing Rachel. There are souls that are out there crying for love and hope and purpose and salvation, and we don't have time to waste. God has chosen you to be a part of his plan for the greatest revival the world has ever known. You, yes, you, you, Jacob, with all your flaws and mistakes and distractions, he has chosen you. But today, you and me, we must choose to bury Rachel. We must choose to step into God's plan as Israel. It is time to bury Rachel. It is time for us to bury Rachel and move on. Today, wherever you are, it is an altar. Jacob had to return to Bethel, an altar he had built in his past, before he could move on. Today, where you are right now is an altar. And we're going to start praying, and I pray that you join me right now. Pray out loud. Pray close. Enter into that special place in God. We're going to just start praying that God identifies the distractions, the Rachel that is holding you back. Lord Jesus, right now, God, you see us and you know us. You know every thought. You know every intent of our heart. You see what's in our heart. You see our excuses and you see through them today, God. I pray that you bring to our remembrance, bring to the front of our mind right now in the name of Jesus what it is that is keeping us bound. I pray right now every distraction that has been brought to our remembrance right now, Lord. I pray right now, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, bring it to our remembrance. There's no more excuses. No more hiding. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we're done with Rachel. We're done with distractions. We're done with the lies that we've been believing in the name of Jesus. Right now, God, we are calling out Rachel. We are calling out what is good in our own eyes, Lord, but it is keeping us. Lord, we call it out right now. We identify that job, that relationship. We identify those movies or those shows or what we do in the dark. God, we identify the deception we choose to believe, God. Lord, we identify the fear, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we call out Rachel right now. We call it out. That's it. That's it, brothers and sisters. That's it. That's it. In the name of Jesus, let's start repenting. God, forgive us. Forgive us of the distractions. Forgive us for taking our eyes off of you in the name of Jesus. Forgive us, God, for going after what we wanted and not even asking you. Forgive us of our prayerlessness. Forgive us of not fasting. Forgive us of not being in your word or being in your presence and not seeking you and the things of you. Forgive us, Lord, for not teaching and preaching and sharing your gospels or witnessing. Forgive us, Lord, for thinking that quarantine meant that we were quarantined from our purpose. In the name of Jesus, we are sorry. We are sorry. We are sorry on us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us, Jesus. God, we choose today to move forward. God, we don't want to go back to Jacob. We don't want to go back. God, we got to move forward to become Israel. In the name of Jesus, that's it. God, God, forgive me of my excuses. Forgive me for believing what I've told myself. And now let's consecrate ourselves. This means, God, I accept your will, not my will, but your will. God, not my will, but your will be done. Not my ways, but your ways. Not my eyes, but your eyes. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. Not my heart, but your heart. Oh, God, today, God, today, Lord, we reconsecrate ourselves to you. God, today we recommit to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. God, move in my heart. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. God, I'm going to be all you want me to be. I choose today to live in my birthright and my blessing. Today, God, I choose you. I choose your way, your kingdom, and not my kingdom. Oh, God, I choose to be all you want me to be. I choose you, Jesus, over me. I choose you over Rachel. I choose you over every distraction in the name of Jesus. I choose you, God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth and in me today. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, I want to be pleasing in your eyes. God, I don't want to hear you say that you do not know me. God, I don't want to be rejected at the white throne of judgment because of Rachel. God, I don't want to be bring displeasure to you. That's it. That's it. You're at an altar right now. That's it. Feel his presence. Feel his forgiveness. Feel his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feel his approval. Even while you were after Rachel, God did not leave you, and he did not forsake you. Even while you've been distracted, he has been there waiting for you. Hallelujah. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Jesus. Take my hands, Lord. Take my feet. Touch my heart, God. Speak through me, Lord. If it's been a while since you've spoken in tongues, if it's been a while since you felt God's Spirit moving through you, right now, God, I come against every hindrance and every lie in the name of Jesus. We loosen your love and your authority right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Just let him flow. Just let him flow, Lord. Let him flow. Have your way. Have your way. Let your home, let your car, let your place be the house of God. Let it be Bethel right now. Jesus. Let's just bask in his presence. For some of us, it's been a while since we felt it. For us, here we are, Jesus. Here we are. Hallelujah. That's it. Let him speak to you right now. Jesus. Whatever he says, it's a time to be in agreement with him. Hallelujah, Jesus. God doesn't always choose to speak in a loud voice, but it's that still small whisper. And it's hard to hear when Rachel talks. This is the silence where you can hear him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus has so much for you. You were not created to stay as Jacob. You were saved. You were called to be Israel. And today, I believe the great expectation and faith that moving forward, God's going to use you mightily. God's going to use you to reach souls. God's going to work through you to turn this world upside down, just like the church did in the book of Acts. Because you're not going back to Jacob. Amen. Coming to a close, but I feel so strongly to pray over each and every one of you. So I'm going to ask you to just lift your hands where you are at. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now that they remember today. I pray right now that when a Rachel tries to enter their life after today, God, that they identify it and they call it out, God, and they do not follow after her. I pray right now for discernment and wisdom in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray for perseverance so they can run this race, Lord, with their eyes fixed on you. That they can press towards the mark of the high calling of you that is in Christ Jesus. I pray your favor in each of their lives. Bless them. Keep them. In the name of Jesus. And I pray a renewed passion for God, the things of God, and for souls. Lord, I pray that you bless each person today. And I pray that this week you minister to them personally like you did Jacob at Bethel. And I pray, God, that they are found pleasing in your eyes. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. We believe and we declare that today we are and will be living as Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I firmly believe that God has done a work in each of you. And just to help you all apply this sermon to your life, it's going to be shared later in Remind, and then also it'll be posted in the Facebook chat, but there is a resource that God laid on my heart to provide for you. And you can go back to the story of Jacob and Rachel and start seeing the progression of distraction. This resource God gave to me yesterday, it is prayed over and it is anointed, and I pray that it helps you recognize Rachel so that you do not go backwards to being Jacob. We're so grateful for what God has done in this service and in our lives. And we miss each of you so much, so we would love for you to join us and meet us in the lobby. The code is on the screen. We hope to see you, unless you're still praying. If so, keep praying. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Okay.